Well, our text this morning is found in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 119. The book of Psalms, Psalm 119, and we come to the second section of that great psalm, verse 9 through 16. And the section is entitled Bet, the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And you will recall that in the original, each verse as we have it here will begin with that distinct letter, which was an aid to memorization. So let us read first of all this section, verse 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Amen. Last week we looked at the first section of this psalm, unfolding the theme, a path to obedience, and the steps that the psalmist took in his own mind as he argued to himself the blessing of obedience and came to that resolution in reliance upon God, as he states it in verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. In the second section, he begins with an important question about cleansing. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he answers his own question by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And he fleshes this answer out from his own experience, telling us what he has done, and then coming again to the end of this section with resolutions as to what he will do. This is what I have done in my own experience. This is what I will do going forth into the future. Now, it's clear from the question that David is concerned about the need for cleansing. And that's something that you and I ought to be very concerned about today. Because as sinners, we need to address the question of cleansing in two ways. We're born into this world in sin, and they are not therefore naturally defiled. And we need to be cleansed from that sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have the guilt of our sins washed away, or we cannot enter into God's heaven. We need also to be cleansed by the renewing of our nature. And so the Bible talks about the washing of regeneration. So we need to be cleansed in that way definitively. Cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and renewed by the Holy Spirit. But then as we go on in the Christian life, we need to be cleansed continually in the work of sanctification. And that is performed by God through his word, as that word is blessed to us by the Holy Spirit. It has a transforming power. And so Jesus prays, remember, in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. In other words, cleanse them, make them pure, make them holy. Well, there's a question for you this morning. In what sense do I need that cleansing? Do I need to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus for the first time? Do I need the cleansing of that ongoing work of sanctification in my heart? The question is pertinent to all of us today. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? But then you'll also notice that this question focuses particularly upon young men. So you young men who are perhaps staring into space presently and off in your minds in dream worlds, sit up, because God is speaking to you this morning in a very focused manner. That is not to say he's not speaking to you older men, or you younger women, or you older women. He's speaking to us all. But he's aiming at young men. Why? Because young men and young women, the Lord would have your heart early. The Lord would have your heart early. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil day come, before you continue on a path of sin and sin become your habit and your custom, and you become increasingly hardened in that path to find yourself on a deathbed, a stranger to the grace of God. Young men, young women, the Lord would have your heart early. But there's a second reason. There are particular sins of youth that you need to address. Young men, you experience wild lusts, and at this time in your life, temptations of a particular sort abound. And when you read the Bible is very clear in speaking to you about the sins of youth. You will have a propensity to be headstrong. You lack wisdom, but you don't know it. You think wisdom has begun and ended with you, and therefore you close your ears and you don't listen. You push back against correction. You have a whole book about this, the book of Proverbs. Young man, my son, listen, listen, listen. Why does he keep repeating it? Because you don't listen. You need to understand that about yourselves. John Calvin, in his sermon on this section of Psalm 119, says this, and this is true. We see at this day, 16th century, how all things are out of order. This is sure, that the true virtue which should be in youth is modesty, and that the younger sort ought to know that since they are not furnished with wisdom and discretion as the older sort are, they ought to hear them and not be given over to their own will and wit. This is the most principal wisdom that ought to be in young men. But what? We shall see these beastly and graceless boys, which scarcely are able to wipe their own noses, that when they are spoken unto, will make no reckoning of whatsoever is said, but pout and grimace at it, counterfeiting the very apes and monkeys, as daily we may see. Well, there's a word from the 16th century to you. And here's a word from around 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, what's the answer to the question? Four things. First of all, by heeding the word. By heeding the word. Verse 9 is very clear, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word here, to take heed, means to guard or protect something. In olden times, maybe someone would want to protect a piece of ground where they were growing their vegetables, or they were containing their animals. You still do this today. And they would plant a thorn hedge around it. Today you put up an electric fence so the deer don't go in and eat your garden. It's the same idea. Take heed, guard, protect. And in particular, you are to take heed so as to protect your way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And that word means a well-worn path. Now there's encouragement in that for you. It's not just well-worn by you. It's well-worn because this is the way that every believer who has ever lived in this world has taken. You're to take the same path, and this path is to be hedged in and guarded. You're to take heed with respect to this way. But then he goes on in verse 10, and it's connected. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. So you've got the way in verse 9, and you've got wandering from the way in verse 10. He's guarding it in verse 9, and he's praying to God that God would keep him in it in verse 10. You see the connection, therefore? Well, in order to keep this way and not wander from it, we are to take heed particularly according to God's word. So let's go back here to something I said earlier. We need cleansing with respect to being converted, brought to the knowledge of Christ. Well, the text here reminds you that the word of God is the instrument of your conversion. You must be born again. You must be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. How does God affect that change in your life? Well, the Apostle Peter answers that we are born not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So God transforms us by the Spirit, it is true, but the Spirit uses this tool, the Word of God, to bring light into your soul. It is the Word of God alone that shows you what sin is and how abominable that sin is before God. It is the Word of God that convinces you of your need and then shows you the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you take heed thereto, according to that word, what do? You turn from your sin in faith and repentance unto God in Christ. But you need to understand this morning that if you refuse to do that, if you do not take heed according to this word, you in fact choose to continue to wallow all of your life in the filth of your sin. You don't address this question of cleansing at all. It's an instrument of conversion, but then it's a guide to your whole conversation. It's a guide to the whole of your life. Now you're a Christian, the rule of your faith and obedience is the Word of God. But don't you struggle as a Christian with this inward inclination to constantly wander out of the way of God's word? And as you wrestle with that temptation, you dread it, don't you? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Well, the psalmist reminds you here that this word and taking heed according to it is the guide of your conversation. So you get up every morning and you're walking this well-worn path and you're hedging yourself in to guard your way. But you know that there are multiple intersections along that path and opportunities for you to turn to the right or to turn to the left. Young men, reckon with this, because these intersections will all have kind of spiritual signposts to entice you to wander out of the way. Maybe one of the signposts would be ease. You don't want the diligent rigor of guarding your way as it's presented here. And you think, well, I'll just turn off to this little town of ease for a time. Or maybe it's a signpost to worldly pleasure, and how the heart would run to worldly pleasure so that you can gratify your lusts. Or maybe, as you know, some of you who are older, that we convince ourselves that there's an easier route that is just as holy, but it's not. You want to take the scenic route. You want the pleasant drive. You want the comfortable stroll instead of the diligent rigor of obedience. When you do that, you are not taking heed. You are not hedging yourself in according to the Word of God. You're defiling your way. So, three words of application here concerning this first point, heeding the word. You must take heed to follow God's word, and you must do it always. You must never wander. You must never surrender to your lust. Children, you remember Joseph when the wife of Potiphar came to him and said, "Joseph, come on, you and me, no one will know." Sinful pleasure. He's at an intersection. What does he do? He takes heed thereto according to the word. And he says, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God?" He didn't care that no one else would know. He cared that God saw and that it was sinful. You need to take heed to follow the word of the Lord always. And that word will be like a goad in your side. And when you come to these intersections, you want it to be like the crack of a whip on the right hand or the left hand. So you, like a stubborn donkey who doesn't want to go in the right way, are prevented from turning off the path. You take heed to follow the word of the Lord, and you do it always. But secondly, you need to take care to be corrected by the word when you wander. Because the sad reality is, it's not just a temptation to wander. We fall to that, don't we? And the only way back onto the way is the word of God. So you turn out of the way, you defile yourself. And the Spirit of the Lord takes this word to convict you of that sin and to use it as an instrument of ongoing conversion, if you like, turning us from our sin and back onto the Lord. Well, I submit to you this morning that you need that every day, don't you? You need daily direction, the voice of the Lord whispering through his word, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And then when you turn out of the way and you know daily defilement, what do you need? You need daily correction. You need daily cleansing. And the question is, wherewithal shall a young man, you, me, whoever we are, how shall we cleanse our way? Well, the answer is by heeding God's word. So my question to you here is, are you doing this? Are you heeding God's word? The second answer to the question is hiding God's word. Hiding God's word. He's now speaking from his own experience. Here's the answer: take heed. Well, David, how have you taken heed to the word of the Lord? Verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now you'll see the connection here again. The question is, how will we cleanse our way? The answer is the word. In verse 11, we're using the word in order to do what? To avoid sin. Do you see that? "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." It's another way of saying that I might walk in a clean path, isn't it? So here the word of the Lord is a preservative to our sin. And key to heeding that word is hiding the word of the Lord in our hearts. And when we do that, we will be preserved. And sin will not reign in our lives. So let's think about that for a moment. Children, it's a good thing to have the word of the Lord in your home, isn't it? Sometimes we walk into our lounge and psalm books and Bibles can be even an irritation. You say, why? Because children don't put them away. They leave them lying over the couches and over the coffee tables. And my wife walks in and says, here we go again. Everybody brings things out, doesn't put them away. We have so many of these things in our household. It's a tremendous privilege to have the word of the Lord in your home. And then it's a tremendous privilege to have the word of God in your hand. Many people have Bibles in their homes and they don't pick them up. I hope that you do pick up the Bibles that are in your homes, that your mom and dad call you for family worship, and there you are with your psalm book, with your Bible, an even more glorious privilege to have the Word of God in our hands so that we might read it for ourselves. Many people in the world do not have that privilege. And then it's an even greater privilege to have the Word of God in your head. You've held it in your hand, in your home, and you've read it. And some of you children, I know, would be able to repeat certain verses of Scripture if I were to ask you, because you've memorized the Word of the Lord. And you come here on the Lord's Day, and we meet midweek, and you hear the Word of God read, and you hear the Word of God preached. It's in your minds. We have to agree again with John Calvin. It is not enough to have brain knowledge of the Word of God. How shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer is not having the Word in your home or in your hand or even in your head. Listen carefully. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He's gone beyond all of that, all of those external privileges. And he's doing something with this word that he has. What's he doing? Two things. He's hiding the word in his heart. Do you ever see a dog taking a bone? And off he goes into the yard and he digs a hole and he buries the bone. What's he doing? He's hiding it so that no one can get it. And he's going to go back later so that he can enjoy it. The Christian is hiding the Word of God in his heart. But this word in Hebrew tells us that he's doing more than that. Because it's not just hiding something secretly. The word means to hoard something copiously. So he's doing two things, as I said. He's hiding the Word of God, and he's hoarding the Word of God in his heart. Do you remember what Paul writes to the church in Colossae? He says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's what's going on here. Now we'll consider later the mechanism of that hiding and hoarding. But I want to just consider the purpose of it here for a moment. We're hiding the Word of God and hoarding the Word of God so that we can go and draw upon that Word of God when we need it. You know, sometimes you get into difficulty as a Christian. Sometimes temptations come into your life. And yes, you can open the Bible there and you can start to read the Bible looking for help. But in some senses, it's nearly too late for that. But when you hide and hoard the Word of God in your heart, You can go to it because you know it and you're able to skillfully use it when that time of temptation comes. And therefore, you cleanse your way. You prevent yourself from wandering and having to find yourself your way back to the path. You prevent yourself from falling into sin. How shall a young man cleanse his way? Heeding the word of God. Hiding the word of God in our hearts. Well, three things here before we move on. And the first is vague knowledge is not enough. Vague knowledge is not enough. You might know a few things about the Bible. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. I could ask you, what are the four Gospels? You could tell me. You might not be able to tell me very much of what's in those Gospels. You might know a few things about God or some of the famous stories of the Bible, like David and Goliath. But that is not sufficient to help you in temptation. Vague knowledge is not enough. It's clear from what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying, in a sense, that to go into spiritual battle, you need the truth of God hidden, yes, and hoarded in your heart, so that you might draw from it when you need it. Vague knowledge is not enough. Some of you only have vague knowledge. You're a prey to temptation and sin. But then secondly, bare knowledge is not enough either. What do I mean by this? I mean, well, you might have more than vague knowledge. You might have substantial knowledge of the Word of God. You could tell me the books of the Bible. You could have a stab at telling me what each of those books is about. You're well-read in theology, but yet your knowledge is bare. What do I mean? It's all stuck up here in the head. It has no impact upon your life. You know, there are many people in the Church of Jesus Christ like that. They know the Word of God, but they've never really embraced the Word of God from the heart that it is good. Listen carefully to the psalmist. He's going beyond head knowledge, bare knowledge. And he's saying, I'm bracing and embracing all of your words of truth. I'm putting it in my heart. So that when the test comes, because I've embraced it and I love it, I will do it. Heart knowledge, therefore, is essential. And according to this text, it has an expulsive power in the experience of a Christian. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Do you see his point? He's saying the way to get sin out of my life is to put the Word of God into my heart. And that expels it. It prevents me from falling into that sin. So how are we going to cleanse our way this morning? Number one, we're going to heed the Word of God. Number two, we're going to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Number three, we're going to receive the Word of God. Verse 12 through verse 14 presents another three aspects here. The first of all, the first thing is a prayer. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. The second is a declaration. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And the third is a delight. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. How are you to receive this word of the Lord? Well, first of all, you're to desire it, aren't you? And so the psalmist comes, answering his own question, thinking upon what he's done on the past, depending upon the Lord. Verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." The believer wants to learn. It's really tragic when you see churches full of Christians who are content to stagnate. They're in love with their ignorance. But it's not a mark of grace. The believer wants to learn. Yet he knows that to learn he must be taught. And so you come as a disciple, humbly before God, "Teach me thy statutes." Hungry before God, "Lord, I want to know your statutes." But taking your place, not as a teacher in the first place, but as a learner. How many times in this psalm we find the psalmist coming with this petition? I think it's 9 or 10 times. Here in verse 12, "Teach me thy statutes." Again in verse 26, "I have declared my ways and thou heardst me. Teach me thy statutes." Verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." So are you concerned about holiness? Are you concerned about this clean way that the Lord calls you to walk? It's going to show in its life with a prayer like this: "Teach me. Teach me so that I know, in order that I might do." You'll be like the little chicken with its mouth wide open as the mother comes back with the worm. And all it wants is to be fed. That's the cry of the Christian. That's the heart of the young man who wants to be cleansed in his way. He has a desire for the Word of God. But then on the back of this desiring the Word, there's a declaring the Word in verse 13. "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Now get this, first of all, the teacher must first be taught. So he comes to the Lord and he says, "Teach me." But now that he's taught, he can't keep it to himself. He says, "Having been taught, I'm going to declare." Well, test yourself with this truth this morning. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you never talk about the Word of God, it's because the Word of God is not in your heart. You can talk about many other things: sports, cars, fitness, hobbies, finances, politics. And the reason that you talk about those things is because you've learned them and they're in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you see, if you come to the Lord desiring to be taught, "Teach me thy statutes," and the Lord teaches you his statutes, then out of the heart, the word of the Lord is going to pour forth. A feature of the cleansed way is godly confidence in Christian fellowship. You want to talk about the things that you've learned. You want to talk about the God that you know. You cannot, like the apostles, you cannot but speak the things that you've seen and heard. They're bubbling up within your heart. And then another feature of the cleansed path is not just godly conference, but Christian witness. Because God has taught you the glory of the things that you know, you will want to communicate to others for their good. Some of you never speak a word to another soul for the good of their salvation. You've got to ask yourself some serious questions as to why that is. Either you don't know God, you're not concerned for your fellow man, or the truths that you profess have such a weak influence in your life that you're a walking contradiction. Note this. Teach me thy statutes. I have with my lips declared the judgments of your mouth. Well, that's an evidence that we're walking upon this clean path. But the amazing thing is that it actually cleanses our way itself. Why? Well, when you engage in Christian fellowship, you're encouraged, aren't you? You can share your trials, you can encourage one another with God's commandments and his promises. And as a result of that, you're motivated to continue walking on the path of holiness. And then you go out into the world. And when you teach others, if you're alive to what's going on at all, you'll recognize that I must know the truth that I teach, I must obey the commands that I share, or as Paul puts it, you who say, thou shalt not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? Sharing the word of God with others, either in fellowship or witness, it has an impact upon our own souls. It stirs us up and confirms us in the path of obedience. So he desires, he declares, and then he delights. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now he doesn't just say here, I rejoice in your word. He goes beyond that. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies. In the way of thy testimonies. Remember our question, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, now he's saying, I'm rejoicing in that way. I'm rejoicing in the way of your testimonies. Do you know the joy of walking in the narrow way of holiness? David says, I have more joy in walking in that way than in all the riches that I possess in this world. That's quite something, because if you recall, David was a king, wasn't he? And kings tend to be the most wealthy person in the country, particularly in ancient times. And he doesn't say, I'm a king, I'm rich, that's so worldly, I hate all the riches that I have. He doesn't say that. He doesn't contemn those things. He appreciates it. But he says, there's something that I appreciate far more than all the riches that I possess, and it's the way of walking in God's commandments. I get more joy out of holiness than I get out of money. What a challenge to our sanctification today. Because you can take riches and you can apply it across all the pleasures that we can have offered to us in this world, and the truth is the same. That the way of God's commandments brings more joy to the life of a believer than satisfying all of our lusts for worldly things. So what happens when you grip that truth? Well, you pursue it, don't you? You're determined to answer this question, how will I cleanse my way? By taking heed according to this word. And now the psalmist says it's the most blessed thing you could ever do. I desire it. I declare it. And I delight in it. Well, this brings us to our fourth point, which is recalling the word of the Lord. How can we cleanse our way? Heeding the word, hiding the word, receiving the word, recalling the word. Verse 15 and 16, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Do you see how he moves from the past to the future? He answers the question by considering what he has done. But he moves from the I haves of verse 10 through 14 to the I wills of verse 15 and verse 16. Now, I said earlier when we were considering hiding the Word of God in our hearts that we would take up the mechanism of this later. How is it that we hide the Word of the Lord in our hearts? Well, David says, this is what I'm going to do. Number one, meditation. I will meditate in thy precepts. We said that you'll need more than bare knowledge. How do we attain to more than bare knowledge? Well, we ingest the truth, we take it into our souls, and then by meditation, we digest that truth so as to break it up, make it part of us in our lives, hiding it in our hearts, so that we might suck out all of the sweetness and all of the goodness of God's commandments. By meditation, you take what is precious and you lay up that heart treasure within your hearts, within your souls. Or maybe you can think of it in this way. We have these distribution centers and warehouses, and all these trucks go and unload their goods in these huge buildings. And that's a little bit like taking the Word of God into your mind. It's like bringing the Word in some kind of truck and unloading it into this bare warehouse. And there it all is. But then you go beyond that. All the truth that has now been unloaded in this warehouse of our mind, we start to sort it out. And we bring it into the next destination. We bring it into the treasure house of our hearts. That's a challenge because we live in the age of amusement. Young men, hear the word of the Lord this morning. You live in an age of amusement, which means no thinking, no meditation. That's simply what it means. A is the negative. Muse means think. You live in the age of no thinking. You live in the age of endless Twitter feeds, Facebook posts, YouTube videos. I was hearing midweek that there are 80 years worth of YouTube videos put up every day onto the internet. You would need 80 years to watch all the videos that are put up in one day. And there you are on your phones, nearly all day, every day. Amusing. And you wonder why your holiness isn't too good. You wonder why your prayer life is cool. You wonder why your heart is not devoted to Christ. You wonder why you don't speak and godly Christian fellowship and conference isn't attractive to you. You wonder why you don't witness. Do you know why? Because you do not meditate upon God's precepts. You know nothing of the heart treasured of God's holy word. You can't get to verse 9 and verse 10 and verse 11 without this. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You can't get there without this. This mechanism of hiding and heeding. You can't get to verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. What's the logic? If I do not hide the word of God in my heart, laying it up as treasure, I will sin against thee. You don't need to be an astrophysicist to work that out. It's simple, it's plain. Then there's delectation. Meditation and delectation. I will meditate in thy precepts, verse 15, verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Now, previously he was delighting himself in the way of holiness. Here he's delighting in the very words and commandments themselves. He's saying, you know, they're all beautiful. They're all good. Not just walking in them. As they're revealed to me in and of themselves, every word of God is a sweetness and honey to my soul. You see, reading the Bible and meditating upon it brings joy into the heart of the Christian. And if that be true today, I simply ask you, why are you so careless then that you do not read the Word of God? Doesn't make any sense. Here's the most precious thing you can have in life. We all say, amen, yes, it's the most precious thing that I have in life. I just don't pick it up and read it. Here's something that the sweetest thing that my soul could ever taste. Amen. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And we sing our psalms and we never open the pages of our Bible. Hypocrites. And then we say, oh, you know, William Tyndale, he laid down his life in order that he might give us the Word of God in the English language. And we think about Bible translating societies, and there they are translating the Word of God to give it to tribes who do not have it. And we have it, and somebody could take us off it, and it wouldn't really make much difference to our weekly life. I will delight myself in thy statutes. And then we have memorization. I will not forget thy word. If you forget it, it's no use to you. You put it in so that it stays in. When it slips out through the sieve of your mind, young man, that's going to get worse when you become old man. When it slips out the sieve of your mind, you put it back in. You're determined that you will not forget God's word. Well, link that to meditating and hiding God's word in your heart. What is the whole purpose of this Psalm 119? It's written as an alphabetical psalm to aid memorization, especially for young people. So it's obvious he's going to say something like this: I will not forget thy word. Well, are you interested in this question this morning? Wherewithal shall a young man, a young woman, an old man, an old woman, wherewithal shall we cleanse our way? It's not complicated. We heed the word of God. We hide it in our hearts. We receive it with desire. We declare it. We delight in it. And we employ this spiritual mechanism of meditation so that our souls will receive it with joy, and that we will not forget the Lord's precepts. Our prayer ought to be, therefore, this morning, that we would find that clean path and that we would take heed according to God's word. Well, let us stand as we seek the Lord in prayer.